Each year at this time, it is our privilege to present to you here in chapel two ministerial students to preach. I know that you'll want to be praying for these men as they preach today. Not only is their preaching going to be a blessing to us, but their lives are a testimony for Jesus Christ. They'll each be preaching shorter than usual chapel messages, so don't fear that it will be afternoon before you get out. But do pray as they preach. Roland Casellas from Clifton, Colorado, is a senior Bible major. He'll be preaching first. And David Stevens is a junior cross-cultural service major, and he is from Cambodia. Roland will come now.
Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. A couple weeks ago, I read about a man who had a very interesting experience. His name was Walter Williams, and he lived in Mississippi. He had not been doing well. His family had called in hospice to his home, and he died. Now, the hospice nurse immediately, she called the paramedics. They came, checked him out. The coroner came, and they took Mr. Walter Williams to the embalming room. And while the coroner was out there filling out some paperwork, he happened to look up, and the body bag was moving. This isn't a regular occurrence for a coroner. He looked up, he ran over to the body bag, unzipped it, and Walter Williams was staring back. He immediately called the ambulance and said, "You guys have to get down here. This guy's alive." And so the paramedics came in, they checked Mr. Walter Williams, and he walked out of there that day alive. The only thing they could figure out was that somewhere in between his home and the embalming room, the defibrillator that had been put in his chest had brought him back. You know what? Mr. Walter Williams that day experienced what we call physical revival. His heart was revitalized. Life was brought back into him. If I could get each one of you to just try something with me real fast. Reach up here. Feel your pulse. Feel that? Yeah, that's a good thing. That means you're alive, all right? Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, as we were reminded by Dr. Sam Horn during Bible conference, was written to a people who needed God, a people who were discouraged. They were downtrodden. Their entire nation had been destroyed. And here we have a promise. If you look down 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land." As when was the last time you let the Holy Spirit check your spiritual pulse? When was the last time that you felt impassioned for the Lord? You had a passion for souls. When you got into your Bible reading, you were fed by the Word of God. When was the last time that you were sitting in a service in your church and you felt God working in your heart? When was the last time you sorrowed over sin? Guys, we live in a country today that is in great need of revival. But revival happens in our hearts as God works. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, a promise to the children of Israel that if they would humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways, God would hear. And while this is a promise to the children of Israel, there are principles here that apply to us today. If you look at that first one, it says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves." You know, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says that God resists the proud. God pushes against the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. When I think of humbleness, I think of somebody that's broken. Somebody that's before the Lord weeping and crying over their sin. But that brokenness is not just that moment of brokenness over sin. Brokenness is a lifestyle. Back home where I grew up in Colorado, we live in a valley. And on three sides, there's mountains. And the mountains closest to us, about 5 minutes away, go up 2,000 feet. And behind that is a big wilderness area where the wild horses roam. Now, once a year in June, the local ranchers and cowboys go up there and they round up all those wild horses. They put them in a corral, they have an auction, and then they take those horses back to their homes and they train them. That training process is called breaking the horse. Bringing that horse's wild, rebellious spirit under submission and making that animal useful for something. And afterwards, that animal, after being useful, can be used for all sorts of things. And God wants us to be broken before Him so that He can use us, so that we can be vessels fit for the Master's use. But humility means coming before God broken, taking our rebellious spirits, submitting to God, not coming to Him on our terms, which we often like to do, but coming to Him on His terms. How many of you go to Sunday to worship God, and yet you know there's something wrong in your heart? Matthew chapter 5 says that if we come to worship God and we have something against a brother or a sister, we need to leave our gift at the altar and go and make things right with them. Psalm 66:18 says that if I have iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Guys, God calls us to humble ourselves before Him, to be broken. If you could look back at the verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray." Now, a lot of us grew up knowing that prayer was talking to God. But it's much more than just talking to God. Prayer is when we come to God and we bring our petitions before Him. Prayer is worship. Prayer is where we come and we praise God. We come before Him, we get on our knees, and guys, we need to pray. Some of us, the last time we prayed was for a meal. Last time we prayed was just 30 seconds for something real quick before a test. But we need to pray for revival. Our hearts are cold. And some of you guys are right with the Lord. But I'm talking to those of you who have allowed sin in your life. And you know there's things that are not right between you and somebody else. We need to get on our knees and pray. And if you look down in that verse, it says to seek my face. Revival is a revitalized heart, and it requires us to be humble, which is brokenness before the Lord. It requires us to pray. We need to seek God, seek His face. The idea of seeking is coming back to the source of something. Colossians chapter 3 says that Christ is our life. We have our life in Christ, nothing else. If Christ is our life, then we need to come and seek His face. Growing up again, my dad and I, we used to go backpacking. And one of the things we loved to do was go find a stream or a river or something and go hike to the source. Now, when you think about water, it brings life to areas, right? You see all the greenery that comes from a river. But when you come to the source, and you see where that water flows from, and you see the power of whether it's a spring or a lake that's feeding that, it's inspiring. It's amazing. And guys, we see the life that Christ brings. We see Christ saving souls. We see things happening. But oftentimes, we don't feel that life ourselves. We've been distracted. We've gotten away from the fountain of living water. And we need to come back to Christ and seek Him. Psalm 63 says, "Early will I seek Thee." It says, "My soul followeth hard after Thee." Jesus told His disciples to seek Him first. Guys, we are to seek God, to seek His face, to get to know Him, to find out who He is. Revival is a revitalized heart brought about by humility, brought about by prayer, by seeking God's face. And the fourth thing in verse 14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins." God says to turn from our wicked ways. If we are to see revival, we must turn from our sin. You look at our nation. We are a nation who has turned our back on God. In our own lives as Christians, often we seek those things that bring us pleasure. We seek those things that we find temporary joy in. We seek our sin. A lot of us are in a tough time of the semester right now, right? We're all ready to be done. In fact, some of us, we're almost dead. We feel like we can't go any farther. We need life. But some of us, when we get under pressure, when the hardships of life come in on us, then we see what really is what our focus is on. We see what we run to. I think you know what I'm talking about. When we get under pressure, we ought to run to Christ. But oftentimes we run to those pleasures that bring us temporary joy. We run to our sin. Some of us we run to our bunks and we sleep when we shouldn't be. Some of us, we eat. Some of us, we give into our lusts and we look at things that displease God. Guys, God has called us to turn from our sin. Hebrews chapter 12 says to look unto Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 says to lay aside the weights of sin that doth so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. We need to live a lifestyle of brokenness before God. God has called us to serve Him, but we cannot serve Him if we have sin. We cannot serve Him if we are not praying for Him to do a work in our hearts. Guys, this must happen on an individual basis. This must happen in your heart. This must happen in my heart if we are to see revival. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if you look down there one more time, it says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven." Guys, we need God to hear us. We need God to come and visit us and to convict us of our sin, to change our hearts, to give us a passion for Him, to give us a passion for souls, to give us a passion to serve Him, to bring Him glory, to get our focus off of ourselves. You know, this college, there's an emphasis here for us to go out and serve, right? We have all these extension ministries, and we have these opportunities to go out and reach people for Christ. But if you go over into the seminary building, I'd challenge you guys to go up there if you haven't. If you go up on the second floor, there's a history of revival in America. There's the different preachers that God greatly used. And as you read their different biographies, you see a little bit about how God used them. And you come around to the right-hand side, and there's a plaque that talks about the first great awakening. And then you go a little farther, and there's the second great awakening. And then you come over to one that was urban evangelism. And that happened right around World War I time when the preachers were going out and reaching the cities. And then you come to the fourth one, and that one's blank. That one's blank. There's nothing there. We need revival. We need God to come and work in our hearts. We need new life in our hearts. We need God to come and change us. We need Him to change our nation. Our churches are cold. They're lukewarm at best. Guys, we need God to come back and bring life. But this will happen if we will obey Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves to be broken before Him, to pray, to get on our knees and ask God to work, to ask Him to bring revival, if we will seek His face, get to know Him, come to Christ who is our life, if we will turn from our wicked ways," God says He will hear. He will forgive. Guys, seek the Lord. Some of us today, after chapel, we need to go and humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to go and find that person that we know we have something against. And we need to get things right with them. We need to get on our knees and pray. We need to seek God through His Word and through prayer. And we need to turn from our wicked ways and turn our hearts to the Lord and pray that He will revive us again.